Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is that gospel, especially these words from the very end of the gospel. A voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly beloved Son, and you bring me great joy." This is how the sermon introduction was going to go. How many of you got your Christmas tree decorations and all that kind of stuff put away this week? But then we had this thing on Friday. What do you call it? Snowmageddon? Snowmageddon. And I was appalled, shocked, abashed at the number of hours that one of our members spent getting from Eureka, his Rockwood school office, Superintendent Eric Knost, to get to his home. He left his office at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He got to his house at 3 a.m. 12 hours. So, a little survey says, how many of you spent, let's say, 10 or more hours getting home on Friday? And it doesn't count if you were in northern Michigan coming here. That doesn't count. How many of you spent 8 or more hours getting home? Oh, the fortunate ones. How about 4 or more hours trying? Now it's coming. 4 or more hours, and I know that the Han trip normally takes half an hour, 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 45 minutes. And it took you how long to get home? Almost 4.5 hours. And she was so smart. She was telling us in the sacristy. She works in downtown St. Louis, lives in Eureka, and went home via Illinois. And beat her father home, who lives there. I don't know. Anyway, it just remarkable, remarkable kinds of stuff. I'm just so glad that you're here this morning, because this is a morning of bringing great joy. Last week we had the newborn king meet the disturbed king. And in this text, again, you've got that conflict between that king who was born flesh and blood to be king of our hearts in conflict with a new Herod, a much, perhaps we could say, even more disturbed king than the previous Herod. But the reason that I am joyfully disposed this morning is that I get the joy of proclaiming to you the one who brings great joy to his father. The one who welcomes, as we heard last week, outsiders, aliens, prostitutes, tax collectors, a motley crew of misfits among which we find ourselves. This is Jesus who brings great joy to the Father. And it might seem like deja vu all over again. You might remember singing songs about John the Baptist and coming to the Jordan River. You might remember John baptizing in the Jordan during that season of Advent. And if so, you remember well. But that was a season of preparation. That was a season of anticipation. A season of preparing for the coming of Jesus. But this particular gospel, especially those last couple of sentences, after Jesus is baptized, after Luke gives us a little bit of a glimpse as to what the future is going to be, this is a gospel about the process. In fact, this gospel is about the handoff. And Luke inserts here, gives us a little picture of what is going to happen. As John the Baptist has that privilege of baptizing his cousin Jesus, and then before we hear those great words coming from the Father, before that Holy Spirit descends on Jesus, it's as if Luke wants to make sure that you and I understand what is going to happen here. And John wants us to understand that this is not about him. This is about Jesus. And the insertion is that John is going to be imprisoned for his work. John is going to be imprisoned for his proclamation. Because John doesn't just proclaim an easy word of the Lord. He proclaims the word of the Lord, which includes the word that has to do with sin. And he's going to be imprisoned by Herod. And he's going to be beheaded by Herod, but not yet. Not yet. Jesus himself was baptized. The heavens are open. The Son is present. The Holy Spirit descends in bodily form The Holy Spirit is present. And the voice of the Father says, my Son, who brings me great joy. Jesus brings joy to the world, not just joy to the Father for who he is, but Jesus is that ultimate joy bringer. Because he brings the good news and he becomes the good news in person, in that body that he takes on, that he took on at Christmas as we celebrated his birth, in that very person of Christ. And the invitation that he has for us, well, it's the same gospel that John preaches. It's not an easy gospel. If it was an easy gospel, he wouldn't have had to go to the cross. It's a gospel that contains hard words. We like to call it the law. It's a gospel that contains words that are from the Father, but are words that tell us that we've become separated from the Father, that we're a broken kind of world, that we are indeed a world of outsiders, aliens, prostitutes, tax collectors, a truly motley crew of sinners who are present today. And I hope that you are here because you know that hard word, but it is a joyful word as well. Because Jesus is not only the ultimate joy bringer, he becomes joy for you and me on the cross. And we are privileged to be able to hear that word of joy that is spoken in this gospel. We are privileged to receive the invitation of Jesus. I love the song that includes these words, come to the table. And then it proceeds to lay out the invitation to all the kinds of people that could come to the table. And maybe in this invitation you hear some hard word of Jesus saying, yeah, but I don't know if those are the kinds of people that really deserve to come to the table. Listen to the partial list. Come to the table, liars, thieves. Those are the kind of people you want at your table? Sinners who have been redeemed. Okay, I'll go with that one. No one's unwelcome here. The thief, the doubter, those who hunger, those who thirst, and on, inclusive of all those who are not so easy to love, well, at least in our eyes, those who are hard to love in our eyes, but those who are loved in the eyes of the Savior who pleads and who bleeds for them on the cross, that all might hear the joy that is brought to the Father by Jesus, the ultimate joy that is brought to the world in Jesus. Come, sinner. Come to the table. Come, sinner. Come and be forgiven. Come to this table. Come and taste and see that I am good and know joy. Yesterday, just a great day of joy. Pastor Seiler and I got to make the journey to Wood River. We got to be part of the ordination of one who is going to be part of the office of the Holy Ministry now, into that office of the Holy Ministry. One who is going to partake and be a part of advancing this message of joy to the world, gets to preach that ultimate joy of the Lord. Yesterday he was ordained into the office of the Holy Ministry. And in essence, what that means is that you, the church, we, the church, gave our approval to this young man through the various offices of the church, through the educational institutions of the church, through the calling process and so forth. And these were the words that were spoken to that congregation yesterday, that group of folks that gathered together, some of them members of St. Paul's, some of us not. But speaking on behalf of the church, this is what they said. And I want to commend these words to you because, in a sense, this is the gift of that congregation to this congregation today. We were asked, will you, the faithful, according to the church's public confession, you're about to make that confession in the Apostles' Creed. We have books that are called the books of our confessions that make up our confessions. And speaking for the whole church, they spoke on your behalf yesterday with confidence that this young man has been well prepared to enter into the office to which this congregation is calling him and will install him. Will you receive Jacob Martin Arthur Schultz as a servant of Christ and minister of word and sacrament? If so, then answer, we will. And they answered, we will. And today we get to continue that joy. This afternoon we get to continue that joy as we install him. He who has been prepared on behalf of the whole church to serve the whole church has now been called to serve this particular congregation in this particular place. He's been called to become a team or part of a team of three particular, maybe peculiar, that's not stretching it too far, pastors, part of this team ministry. And it's interesting that I had prepared this before, but Jacob's brother was the preacher, and he talked about some of the joys and challenges of being part of a team ministry. And earlier in the week, I asked my two brother pastors, I said, I want your help. I want your help in preparing this message. Give me a little something as to how it was and how it is that you have come to this office of the Holy Ministry. And I will tell you that they are peculiarly, I think that's a word, reluctant to talk about themselves, to talk about the particular route by which they came here. Scott deferred and said, you know, there are just so many pathways and so many intersections that got him here. But he said, at heart is a deep desire to help broken people like myself meet the Savior that heals. I wanted to jot down some of my thoughts of strong examples here and there. People that have been an encouragement to me. And mine would probably be just on my own part, my own greater desire to know this Savior and his salvation, and then the love of sharing and teaching that love to other folks. I asked Jacob, I don't know if you know this, but the Schultz family is deep. How many Schultzes were part of the ordination yesterday? 75. One couldn't make it because of the snow. There were lots of Schultzes in attendance. And Schultzes preaching, and Schultzes ordaining, and Schultzes helping with the sacrament. I asked Jacob. He says, it's not because of my family. It's because of Jesus. I want to share his love and dive deeper with those who already have a relationship with him and connect those outside the faith to him. I want to just bring that all together around the fact that what we want to do as your pastors is convey to you the ultimate joy to the world that is Jesus Christ, he who became flesh to dwell among us, he who was baptized on our behalf so that he would fulfill all righteousness, so that confidently you and I can say of him who died and suffered for us on the cross that he is the perfect substitute for you and for me. And earlier this week, as we had staff devotions, it was my privilege to lead in that. And I knew that Jacob and Rebecca had this excitement building for the week, and sometimes I like to burst people's bubble, good-naturedly anyway. But I turned to Jacob and I said, you know what, buddy? This is not all about you. It's not all about you, man. And I would tell you, Concordia, the same thing. This is not all about Jacob. And to make my point, if you can be here this afternoon, I hope you are. But if you cannot, then I want you, and even if you are going to be here, I want you to hear these words. To the congregation, it will be said this afternoon after Jacob takes his vows and promises to be our pastor. You have heard the solemn promise of him called to be your pastor. Will you receive him? See, it's not all about him. It's about you. Will you show him that love, honor, and obedience in the Lord that you owe to the shepherd and teacher placed over you by your Lord Jesus Christ? And will you support him by your gifts and pray for him always? See, it's not all about Jacob. In his labors, that he may retain a cheerful spirit, and that his ministry among you may be abundantly blessed. If so, Then answer, we will with the help of God. Would you answer? We will with the help of God. And secondly, will you honor and uphold your pastor as he serves Christ in all his God-pleasing responsibilities? This next question is very important, very dear to myself. I think very dear to Pastor Seidler. I hope it's very dear to you. Will you aid him as he cares for his family? Will you be diligent to put the best construction on everything, recognizing that love covers a multitude of sins? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
May the Almighty and merciful God strengthen and assist us always and help us to be joy-filled, joy-proclaiming people. In the name of Jesus, amen.